Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 3rd of August. We're glad you're with us, and I encourage you to check out the sermon for this weekend that is going to be airing on all of our platforms, PWM at YouTube, Facebook, right here on the podcast, the audio version of our weekly sermon. We do a full length on Wednesday, full length on Sunday. And I try to give you a heads up a little earlier in the week as to what's coming. Sometimes don't do too good a job of that. This week, we will be airing for you our sermon from Springfield, Illinois. It was a message that we did on a recent trip to Springfield, in which we dealt with wrestling with the Lord and what that looked like. We titled that sermon, "I Have Seen the Face of God." It deals with Jacob wrestling with the angel, having his name changed to Israel, and the next day confronting his brother Esau. How that wrestling match determines how he is received and receives his brother Esau. Kind of lets us look at what it looks like to wrestle with bigger things, be it intellectually, physically, whatever, and how that wrestling match prepares us for tomorrow. More so than we'll ever really know. Whatever you're going through today is in many ways preparing you for what you'll go through tomorrow. What Jacob sees when he wrestles with the angel shows up the next day in the face of his brother. And he says that when he saw Esau, it was as if he had seen the face of God. So check it out tomorrow. I'm excited about it. It was a great time in Springfield with our friends there, and I hope that you enjoy that. Okay, enough with telling you what's coming. Let's talk about what we're going to do today. Verses 2 and 3 of 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, you're unworthy to judge. Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" And of course, verse 4 sums it up. "If then you have judgments or courts," that's really the word that's a little cleaner there, is the word courts. "If you have courts concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge?" What does he mean by you're going to judge angels and you're going to judge the world? Well, it's a toughie. And it's tough because we don't have a lot of other scriptures in the New Testament to help us. We do have some references to judgment. One of the chiefest references to judgment comes from Jesus when he says in Matthew 19:28, "Assuredly I say to you," Jesus said to them, "assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you will have followed me, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And that's similar to something he says in Luke at what we call the Last Supper, when he tells the disciples that they have the right to eat at the table and that they will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes. And I've taught that as you because you know me, you have the right to feast, but you have the responsibility to take care of your neighbor. And so I feel like that's sort of a broad prophecy by Jesus. It's not just you get to sit down at tables and eat and you get to sit on thrones and judge. It means you have the rights of a son and the responsibilities of a king. Well, what does Paul mean? Because he makes it sound pretty literal, like the church is actually going to judge angels and judge the world. Well, maybe that's exactly what he means, that perhaps in the future, in an age that we don't yet know, perhaps the church is a part of the judgment that is against this world or against angels, be it fallen angels or what have you. That's kind of above my pay grade, and honestly, I think it's above most of our pay grades. Because we don't know what everything looks like in all of the ages to come. Paul refers to ages to come. So I don't necessarily believe we're in the final age. I don't know. I do believe that there are things we don't yet understand, and that we don't always walk in the fullness of. It's not the Holy Spirit keeping us in the dark on things that pertain to our life and to our walk, but we don't necessarily have all of the end. There's a lot of variety. Let me just walk you through some of the interpretations, okay? Because I like to study the Bible in a way in which I hear other points of view. And I like to, especially in these moments, when you've got in verses 2 and 3, where there's a lot of possibilities. Let me give you some of the interpretations that have happened with this from some pretty reputable commentators over the years. Some believe that it means that the church will be first judged by Christ and then help him judge or join him in judging the rest of the world, whatever that judgment was to look like. You have to also realize that a lot of commentators view judgment as an entirely futuristic event, whereas I believe that the judgment is in your past, and whatever judgment comes in your future must come through the cross. So personally, I think Paul is telling us that whatever Paul means, and he's not entirely clear, but whatever he means by we judge the world and we judge angels, I think it has to come through what Jesus has done at Calvary. I don't see any other way around having a new covenant interpretation that excludes the finished work of Christ. Other commentators think that it means that Christians are to judge the world by the way they live, judge the world by their example. Others have said that what Paul meant was that there should be Christians on the benches, on the seats of the courts, and that that would fulfill some Old Testament prophecy. Another commentator I read supposes that it means Christians are to judge the errors pertaining to religion, and that the support scriptures there are things like 1 Corinthians 2:13. These things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so there's a thought that contextually Paul's reaching back into the second chapter to say that we ought to be judging. And when Paul talks about judging the world, he's talking about judging the world of religion. That's a possibility. I mean, why is it not a possibility? I don't see a hole in it. I don't know that it's complete, but it's there. And then some of the early Greek commentators, and so we're digging way back. You could talk about guys that from centuries ago who were reading straight from Greek, suppose that it means that saints will furnish the matter that condemns the world. In other words, they'll live lives with an example that their lives will be the greater condemnation of the way the world lives, almost like a ceremonial judgment. Like you will live in such a way that the world cannot help but be judged in comparison to your lives. I don't know about that. It seems like Paul does mean a literal judging more than just a ceremonial judging. Not an easy passage to interpret, not an easy passage to understand. If you want to make it as simple as possible, here's how I handle those moments. Take it at face value and take it for what he's trying to say. It doesn't seem like he's trying to enforce a theology of future judgment on the part of Christians to the unrighteous. It seems like he's using an idea to prop up another idea. The idea he's propping is quit suing each other in secular court. The idea he's using is, aren't you better than that? And so we could fall on 10 different sides of what it might mean and miss the forest for the trees, which is, you guys have a great amount of authority and power. Why are you lowering yourselves to allow secular courts to determine matters? You ought to be smart enough to know. To me, if Paul's grabbing back into chapter 2, it's to tell you that the Holy Spirit reveals to you the things you need to know. In other words, be spirit-minded people that don't have to go before the world for these judgments. We'll continue in the fifth verse tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.